so they may have life and life more abundant. That phrase comes from the New Testament, is said to be the words of Jesus quoted by people who never actually heard him speak. More reassuringly, in the book Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth, the phrase, life more abundant, is used 26 times by Christ. Like most people, I take what I relate to from the New Testament and I ignore the rest. I relate to the concept of life more abundant. After all, who wants to follow a leader into a life of deprivation, illness, unhappiness, or suffering? Not me, and probably not you. I once worked with a woman who was suffering in life, and she had been suffering since she was a teenager. At 70 years old, she was trying to break free from her limiting beliefs, but she was hesitant about committing to getting better. But Tom, what if God wants me to suffer? I don't want to violate God's will. What should I do? If her fundamentalist Christian religion had worked for her freedom, and maybe the elevation of her consciousness, this fear would have never existed. That minister could have talked about life more abundant to the children, the women, and the men in the congregation, instead of emphasizing sin, suffering, punishment for any acts of disobedience, and the threat of eternal damnation. So my advice to her was, get a new God, a God of love, instead of accepting the one that you were taught. What would a life more abundant mean to you? I mean, that's really the question, right? I've never heard a priest or a minister describe any dogma around this concept. Even so, I'm a believer that as individuals, we should think for ourselves. So we need to answer that question, in my opinion. What would a life more abundant mean to you? You can find sites, as I did on the internet, in which people cherry-pick the Bible in order to support their views of what life more abundant means. Televangelists interpret the meaning to include, you can have as much money as you want, much property as you want, as much health as you want, much power and influence as you want, and as much success as you want. Others say, no, it doesn't mean that at all. It means eternal life, as if there is something else. What else is there other than eternal life? The biblicists, that's how I label people who quote the Bible as if God was being directly and accurately quoted, they become rigid in, I'll say, various ways, depending on the chapter and verses they cherry-pick, end quote. God said this, and God said that, and that's that. End of story. Personally, I would prefer to use the truth of existence that Christ talks about in the Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth, when he's out in the desert after being baptized by John, and he now is becoming aware of the true nature of God. He's discovering what God really is. And it's about, in the book, about that time he shifts from God, because everybody thinks of a big man up on a cloud or some other form that's superhuman. He shifts into using words like divine consciousness. And he recognizes the truth is divine consciousness is providing for our well-being in these areas by providing for our growth, providing for our nutrition and nourishment, our healing, our protection, our fulfillment of need, our work, our survival, with rhythm, being governed by spiritual law, the law of cause and effect. That makes a lot of sense to me, that life more abundant would have these facets of life sufficiently so it would enable us to seek to understand and experience divine consciousness, the source of our being in our daily lives. I think of it like this. If divine consciousness thinks those items, growth right on up to the law of cause and effect, are the things that divine consciousness wants to provide because it'll provide for our well-being, why wouldn't I want more of those in my life? Why wouldn't I believe that those are the items that would be present in a life more abundant? Exactly what growth means to each of us is probably different, and that also makes sense to me. Assuming that each of us is in a different place on our paths to what we each view as the nature of our journey, I mean, what's the purpose of your life? What is life? You would determine that for yourself. And what would you consider the ultimate destination to be? It makes sense not only to think of the destination, but to enjoy the journey, to have whatever energies you need in the journey, because that's where the life is, and that's where we would want a life more abundant. Every one of us has to make this decision, whether we do it mindfully or we just go along with what we believe to be the necessary patterns and we're going to follow them. The way to say that is, you know, how much time do we have? Some people might think of that and measure it in years. Some of us may think of it in terms of lifetimes. And if we could identify what we need and want, it's going to be unique to each one of us. One of the million things interesting in the book Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth is where Christ says these letters will provide the spiritual foundation for the development and elevation of human consciousness for the next 2,000 years. Like, that's a long-term goal. You know, we think in terms of what are you going to accomplish in 30 days and 5 years and 10 years and, how about 2,000 years? I like that. I like that a lot. So we can get rid of any sense of, I got to get it done. Yeah, we got time. We have plenty of time. Growth is such a significant concept that it's considered to be a hallmark of life and being alive. Said another way, to have a real life, maybe a life that's meaningful, maybe a life more abundant, requires that we have growth, that we experience growth. And I think of growth not just as a physical thing, which of course obviously we have grown from a fertilized ovum into whatever it is we're experiencing on a physical level today, but I think of growth also spiritual growth, mental growth, emotional growth, and the continuing physical growth. This repair, healing, repair, healing. And I suppose I could look at the remainder of the 12 worlds, which is a structure I find convenient to observe and consider human activity. Those areas would offer opportunities for growth as well. That would mean we would be thinking in terms of growth in our family relationships, maybe the number of people in our family, and include people who are currently not in our families, and that family is in quotes, and we draw them in. Then they may not be biologically in our bloodline, but it doesn't mean we can't make them part of our family. Those of us who have pets, dogs, cats, we are like, is that a family member? Inevitably, we would say, you bet, you bet. So we would grow our families, we'd grow our careers, we'd grow our finances, and we'd grow our social life. Like, I want to add a friend, I want to extend my energy, I want to grow more, I want to reach out more. Sure, sure. Leisure activities, even our community and political involvement could grow. And doing maintenance on those things that we possess, those material objects that require maintenance, we would want to grow in our ability to manage those things, maybe do the maintenance ourselves, or manage people who could do the maintenance for us. A life more abundant would certainly have enough nurturing and nourishment. Our awareness of what these concepts mean will grow in proportion to say, our reaching out for knowledge. If you say, what does nutrition and nourishment mean to a young kid? They go, M&M's, Skittles, Twinkies, and diet soda. Like, okay. Over time, we hope, their consciousness will go, you know what? Do over. I've got different points of view on what constitutes nutrition and nourishment. And we're growing on a daily basis, I think, for most of us, going, you know, is this really healthy to put this factory manufactured substance in my body? It doesn't appear to be real food. And depending on our consciousness, we're going to arrive sooner or later at that realization. No. I want to put stuff in my body that was designed by divine consciousness. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. It should be pretty easy for people to answer this question. How would you like life more abundant to show up with regard to your healing and your health? So you know what your current state is. You know what you're currently experiencing. What would a life more abundant look like? How would you feel? How would you act? What would the characteristics of it be? You know, And if we put our attention on that, we've already started a flow of energy into our lives. It ought to be pretty easy also to define the desired states of protection. If you wanted to feel more protected than you currently do, and let's consider that would be a factor or a facet of a life more abundant, what would protection feel like? Clearly, there would be less stress. You wouldn't have to carry a six-shooter. You wouldn't have to have a concealed weapons permit. You wouldn't have barbed wire around your property. You go, yeah, I'm not so stressing because I am allowing divine protection to fulfill that need. And that would be a part of my life more abundant. And we could say the same thing about fulfillment of need. What would that mean in a life more abundant? How about work? How about survival? How about rhythm? If we could recognize rhythm and sense its presence in our lives, we would stop fighting time patterns, right? I want it to be summertime. I want it to be summertime in the middle of winter. What you're looking for, maybe, is a climate that's different than you're currently experiencing, but you're not going to change that where you happen to be. You may pick up and move to a different place or go on vacation to warm weather. But if we could understand rhythm, we can relax and allow those flows to carry us to where we want to be. And the same thing is true of the law of cause and effect. What would it be like to have this kind of life more abundant in each of these areas that Christ says divine consciousness is seeking to provide for you? I think that's exciting. I'm guessing that a big challenge, though, for people with regard to a life more abundant is to be able to see beyond what they're currently experiencing. This is my current life, period. And they don't look beyond that. They accept that as the norm and maybe the inevitable. Certainly you can understand that if the urgency of a situation that a person is experiencing, real serious illness, the house is on fire, you go like, my circumstances are so demanding of my attention, I'm finding it difficult to put my attention and intention on another condition that's not yet real for me, that seems to be a little outside of my range of imagination. But most of us understand that's actually how new conditions come into manifestation. We feed our energy of attention, intention, and imagination into them, and they grow into physical reality. Here's another concept that may be important to understand on our way to a life more abundant. individuation. Individuation. I like that word, and I like that concept. I believe that individuation that occurs in, say, obvious situations such as this. We just got notified that a friend of ours had her third child at 3:17 this morning. Third boy in a row. I think she was probably looking for a girl, but she's got her third son in a row. So you go, oh, that's individuation, right? There's one, and it starts to grow and grow and grow, and boom, birth has resulted in that individuation. Yep. However, I believe that this process of individuation occurs repeatedly through our lives, not just at birth, but over and over again. And frankly, the more oriented we are to growing and growth, the more often we're going to individuate. This is my thinking. Right now, we may consider ourselves as individuals. Yep, I'm an individual. I'm in Naples, Florida. You're an individual where you happen to be. And we have certain labeling of our characteristics. We're a certain age, we're a certain height, we're a certain weight, we have hair color, we're gender, etc., etc. But I think this idea, we could place ourselves in some relative positions, depending on how we wanted to measure ourselves, look at the four driving needs of the ego that expresses through the personality that Christ talks about in Christ Returns, Reveal Startling Truth, you know, defending ourselves from criticism, emotional or physical attack, coming in first in the race of life, taking the best for ourselves despite what other people want, and holding on to whatever it is we've acquired, our possessions, despite opposition of others. We could use that as a measurement and say, where are we on that? And I would say if we make these a horizontal line and put life more abundant on the far right of that horizontal line and the life less abundant on the left side, you go, okay. Maybe we would look at the 12 worlds as a, where do you fall relative to your spiritual world, your mental world, your emotional world, your physical world, your family world, your career world, your financial world, leisure, social, community, political, and maintenance world. And you could do 12 different horizontal lines, and you'd be able to represent, am I experiencing a life more abundant or a life less abundant? You go, yeah. You could do the same thing with the truth of existence, those items that I mentioned earlier. Growth, nutrition, nourishment, healing, protection, fulfillment of need, work, survival, rhythm, law of cause and effect. Where are we at any one moment in our consciousness with regard to those items? I think it would be a cool way to measure where we are. I think self-measuring, self-assessment, is really a key point in self-management and self-control. If we know where we are and what we're doing, it's like, I want to be somewhere else and I want to do something else, or I want to continue what I'm doing. Makes sense. That's why mindfulness about where we are at any one moment in these various forms of measurement makes sense to me. So let's assume that at this moment, each of us has experienced a less abundant situation in only one area of our lives. I believe that we have to individuate from that person into the person we want to be. So there is the person experiencing this condition that's less abundant. I don't believe that we drag that person with his or her consciousness along that horizontal line until we get to a better, higher, more elevated position on that scale. I don't think that's how it works. I think we become a new, different, more conscious person. We individuate from the person who is currently experiencing the less abundant life into the person who is capable, consciously, of experiencing the more abundant life. I want to support my idea of individuation. I use this idea as like a parallel concept. Let's imagine a person with a serious disease, and he says he wants to make his sick cells healthy. If he could just make all of his cells that are sick healthy, he would regain health. I don't think so. That's not how it works. What really has to happen is for the sick cells to stop reproducing sick cells, and instead to start individuating into healthy cells. So when the offspring, the new individuals, are healthy, that's how health is regained. And it ought to be pretty obvious to all of us that health is a prerequisite for a life more abundant. To be ill and have a life more abundant, that's not going to happen. That's a contradiction in terms. To individuate, though, probably on a cellular level, on a physical level, like we're moving from one state that's undesirable into one that is more desirable, takes courage. It requires that we trust enough to let go of what we have. You know, when you think of the familiar, even though it's undesirable, does provide a certain sense of security because it's familiar. This quote, "Better the devil I know than the devil I don't know," is a saying that's used by people, and frankly, I think it imprisons them in painful familiarity. Abused people go back into abusive situation. Recidivism in prisoners or convicts or criminals, I think, can be explained this way too. Prisoners get released from jail, but then they take actions that lands them back into that familiar environment. It's a structure that they find familiar, and because of practice, I know what the normal is. It's normal to be in this environment. It's like, oh, wow. If somebody could have triggered a new normal for them, an image of that they could have held out on the far right of that scale, a life more abundant, they would have been able to invest their attention and intention and imagination into its creation. But clearly, when they end up in prison again, it hasn't happened. We can individuate over and over into the persons who become more and more aware of life more abundant. 20 years ago, if somebody had used that phrase, life more abundant, what does that mean to you? And then they would, 10 years later, life more abundant, what does that mean to you? And I'm asking today, a life more abundant, what does that mean to you? And in 5 years, it's going to be different again. Why? Because the person we individuate to is going to have a more elevated point of view about that concept. And frankly, that's what we want. That's what we want. And we want those experiences. We do want to grow. We want to come in harmony with this. And I think if we just recognize the act of mentally or emotionally reaching for awareness, and Christ also advises that, reach out in thought and feeling to your source of being, to divine consciousness, and ask for enlightenment. The new enlightened us is a different individual, in my opinion. It's not the same old person, just with a light bulb shining. It's a different person. And I think just by the act of that reaching in thought and feeling brings that life more abundant onto our screen, if you will, and starts drawing it into our field. And it can be in our reach, and us as individuals can be standing in the midst of a life more abundant. I would like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns, reveals startling truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. So if we're looking for a life more abundant, I think that sentence pretty much explained which direction we ought to be looking in. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us. For you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.